Hello, and welcome to Written by Grimes, the podcast. For a while now, my friend Marley and I have been discussing K-dramas and how exciting they are and how romantic they are and how emotionally exhausting they can be. And we've been talking about how to bring these ideas to the people we know and love and virtual strangers. Luckily, I have this wonderful platform, Written by Grimes, the podcast, where I get to talk to my friends about all manner of things, their creative life, and now our mutual love of K-dramas. So without further ado, I bring to you Marley Barrientos and Abigail Grimes, talking all things K-drama. I hope you enjoy the first episode of K-Drama Mamas. This is the inaugural episode of a Written by Grimes podcast segment, K-Drama Mamas. I'm super excited to have with me my co-host for the segments, Marley Barrientos.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm so excited to have you on the show. It's been a while since we've been talking about this, so I'm glad that we finally actually have had the opportunity to sit down and actually do it and have the world be a fly on the wall to our particular conversations that we have either on Messenger or on or in person in the office. So yay, thank you.
All great. It's a long time coming.
It certainly has been.
Thank you for having me. And yes, I'm so glad that I have someone I can talk about K-dramas with. I feel like it's not that, they're not that popular just yet. I mean, Squid Games came out, but no one really knows like the nitty gritty of like a real K-drama fan. So I'm glad I could share that with you.
That was awesome. It was a lonely time in the office before you came, Marley. When I was the only K-drama fan, and I'm admitting it out loud to other people. I don't know if there are some fans out there that just weren't willing or ready to admit it, but the fact that after talking to whoever would listen to me, honestly, because you know me, I like something and I'm just like talking about it. To have somebody come out of the woodwork, essentially, like you were fairly new in the office and you befriended the person who sat behind me and you guys just, I was probably talking about some K-drama that she, a Korean woman herself, had never heard of, was not interested in at all. And you chimed in and I was like, oh my gosh, here is my sister. Let us discuss.
Did I make your heart flutter?
You did. You did. I felt a kindred spirit. True. It was wonderful.
I don't even know, like, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but yeah, I think we knew exactly what show. It must have been Love Alarm.
Probably.
What Holly was Love Alarm, and for those who don't know, watch Love Alarm season one. Don't even
season one.
To watch season two. A freaking trash. It's so bad.
I mean, if you feel like you have to watch it just to finish the story, I suppose you could do that to yourself, but
yes. But man.
Marley was brave enough to do it. I have yet to finish it. I've yet to finish.
And I'm saving you the trouble to let you know that you don't need to finish it. Shit, that was bad. But it's okay, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk about more swoon-worthy K-dramas that we will suggest.
For this episode, we can lay some groundwork. What makes a K-drama a K-drama? Like, what distinguishes it from a typical melodrama.
Like
Like
soap operas?
when I think of melodrama, I think kind of like a telenovela from like the 80s, or like a soap opera, particularly like something extremely overdramatic, like Passions from the 90s. Poor Tabitha the Witch
Passion.
was falling down the stairs for like one
Wait,
whole week.
Timothy needs to help Tabitha. Oh, that little puppet was like Pinocchio. I'm a real boy. Sorry, but yes, totally agree with you. It's definitely like soap operas. Soap opera meets rom-com,
Yes.
like a happy medium between the two. And I think what makes a difference is it you go through the entire emotional roller coaster. I feel like with soap operas, there's this like it's intense suspense sometimes. Like, oh, Victor's still alive in Young and the Restless. Like that man is still alive. And then in rom-coms, it just seems like rom-coms that it's very fast paced. Like it's like, oh, I like you. Oh, let's sleep together. Oh, I don't know if I like you. Let's see if this is a thing. But for K-dramas, they like you said this before, they appreciate every single aspect of touch, sense, smell. Like,
Yes.
it kind of sounds creepy now that I'm saying that out loud, but it's not. It's actually very beautiful and very romantic.
It's true. And the other thing that I really like about K-dramas in particular, that I think sets them apart from, like you said, with the pacing with rom-coms or with soap operas, like with a soap opera, that storyline has been going on for like 60 years, and there is no impetus, there's no reason for them to speed up the progress. That's why Tabitha could, be teetering at the top of the stairs for an entire week and then finally fall on Friday, so that, we tune in on Monday to find out, did Tabitha die at the bottom of the stairs? I don't know what's going on with poor Tabitha. But
Stay tuned to find out.
right, but with a K-drama, what I really like about them is that the story is told in that 16, 20, 24 episode arc, and it's done. Like, that your commitment to the show is approximately 24 full hours. Like, these episodes are 1 hour, 1 hour, 6 minutes, 1 hour, 12 minutes long, and there are 16 of them, or 20 or 24 of them. And when you're done that full, season, you're emotionally exhausted. You have ran the gamut of all of the emotions, like from funny to sad to super emotional to, I don't know, hate. And then it's
Oh
done.
my
Like,
God, yes. The hate part, there's always the villain. Always. You're right. There is a recipe to it. You have to have the suspense. Someone always dies. There's always a couple in love. There's always a triangle. There's
There's always
always
a
a love
car
triangle.
accident. Whether the person dies from the car accident or not,
Ooh.
there's always a car accident.
What's the equivalent of the historian one? Historian version. Not a car accident. I guess a medical issue.
Somebody, okay, in a historical one, someone's been stabbed with a sword.
Oh, yes. There's always betrayal. There's always some hierarchy, but it's always the same. It's always the same storyline, roughly, but it still gets us.
100%.
It still reels you in. You still want to watch the next episode, and I think that's another huge difference too. Because if you watch a soap opera, just as you mentioned earlier, it takes you 6 episodes for like one scene to finally finish.
Right.
But then on the flip side, you watch a K-drama, and it's like so much material is compact in like one episode, and then you don't realize how much content was in it until the summary at the end.
When those credits start to roll and you realize that all of that happened, like, I find myself saying literally out loud, all that happened? All that happened in this episode? It's true. Like,
Right? Like 2 episodes worth. Like I feel like it's my birth. Please ignore that. I live next to a fire station.
was concerned.
I know. No, I live next to a fire station. That's why when like I hear the fire stations at work and I'm just like, yeah, that's whatever. It's like every day. We'll just wait for that to go away, I guess.
Like, is the fire in your neighborhood?
No, I think Scarborough's just really small. I don't know. I hear this all the time, so I'm used to it, but the fact that it's being recorded.
Sort of, you know, having laid the groundwork there, when did you first start watching these shows? Like, what show was it that you watched and it caught your attention and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is for me?
Okay, so I was going through my dark years, as everyone goes through their dark years. And what do? You resort to content. Social media content, TV media, whatever it is. Like, you just need some sort of distraction.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, I ran out of everything. Whichever content I didn't watch, I didn't care for, because it looked like crap and trash. Nothing intrigued me. Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, I didn't have at the time. I don't even know if it was available. Must have been like 2014. I want to say it was around 2014. And there was this show on Netflix called K-Pop Extreme Survival. But you can't find it anymore on Netflix. I guess it's been removed. Anyways, it came out in 2012. K-pop something. It brings up all the K-dramas listed on Netflix now, because now that's like an actual
section
genre now. So
search.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, that was my first one. It was something along the lines of like, I guess they, like, yeah, there was like a gender swap, like a girl had to pretend to be a guy to become a K-pop trainee for a boy band. And like, you know what? I'm bored. There's nothing else to watch. So why not give this shit a go? So I did that. And then it just picked up. It just picked up, and I not necessarily fell in love, but I think that was like a good introduction to K-dramas.
Yeah.
Like, I obviously knew what like K-pop was, and like, I didn't really like care for it. Like, there's some good songs. It was like 21's music, but I wasn't like deep into it or anything. So I figured, okay, well, you know what? Let's give this a go. And it had, again, the recipe that we talked about, right? Like, there was the romance, there was the suspense. I like the comical part of it. Their comedy is funny. Like, that's one thing I really like. Yeah, it might be a little cheesy, but yes, I really liked K-pop Extreme Survival. And it's okay, and it's also, I think it's also because, well, for some odd reason, the main character was like, damn, I gotta give you a second look. Like, And then, yeah, I started becoming attractive to, like, just fair, slender gentlemen. I'm like, okay. So I gave that a shot. And then I feel like I must have spoke about it with someone or a couple people. And then they started giving me their recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for content that wasn't available unless you, like, had subscribed or you had the Korean channels, and I wasn't going to invest into that.
Right.
So I think it wasn't until maybe like later down the line, like I want to say like maybe 2016 and onward, that more content started becoming available on Netflix. And on YouTube, you can go as far as like maybe like the first couple episodes of a show, but you wouldn't get the full thing. So I didn't know about that until like later on, that there's like Rakuten Viki. Or that Cocoa stuff. But yeah, like, you would have to have gone through like the dark interweb for you to get the legal stuff. And like, it's like, really, like, all I really want to watch is just like this foreign rom-com. And you couldn't find it anywhere at the time. So yeah, I'm really glad that it's finally like getting the recognition it deserves. But
yeah,
it was just like, it jumped from one to the other. And then that's when you meet different characters, different actors and actresses, then you suddenly want to only watch their content because they're so good at their craft that you admire them. You want to say like, okay, well, what other kind of content can you produce? Or like, aside from you just being the schoolgirl, can you also be the witch, the mother
right,
witch?
Like, right, exactly. Yeah. Can you play the villain? And can you play the villain not just as a mean girl?
Yes. It was so good. And then, yeah, it just pops off from there. And then you look at different types of K-dramas, like the historical ones to the suspense ones. And then, again, thank God, like, Squid Game came out, because that was entertaining. it's not all about K-dramas, but just in general, like their plots are they're so intense. Like they're so creative.
Yeah, they really are. And it's unfortunate that I say it's unfortunate that it took something like Squid Game to really kind of shine a light on that content. But at the same time, I'm really glad it did. Like, I'm really glad it did because now it's opened up the market to allow Netflix, I guess, at this point, to take the risk more when it comes to producing content for the international market, not just for the Korean market or the Asian market. So
Yes.
that's really good to see. You're seeing a lot of different kinds of shows, and you're not like with Japanese shows, for example, you would see like a lot of anime, like a lot of anime. And I would say over the past few years, we're showing a lot more drama and suspense shows
Yes,
with
agreed.
K-dramas or with the Korean marketplace. You were seeing a lot of, and you still see a lot of, like they do zombies really well. Like they do horror
Train to
really well.
Busan.
Yeah. So once Train to Busan came out on Netflix, there's just a bunch of Korean horror shows like Sweet Home and what's that one that just came out with the things that rip your face off? Hellbound. Hellbound.
Hellbound. Okay. Yeah, but you're right. There is a lot of variety for K-dramas. It's not just geared towards like the one or two topics.
Your first K-drama was K-pop Extreme
Extreme Survival
Survival.
Guide. Yeah.
When I was first exposed to a Korean drama, it wasn't like you were going through a dark period in your life. I was just looking for something to watch on Netflix. I saw this show that I thought it was, I don't know what I was thinking it was, but it was advertised as this over-the-hill actress who was having a terrible marriage. Well, it was like a great marriage on paper, like in the papers and on social media and whatever. But in her real life, it was not so great. And so it dragged me in with this idea of, what's going on in the outside and then what's actually going on inside. But I mean, that's just compelling to me anyway. What convinced me to continue watching this show was she's this, I say older, but she's like my age. So
Okay.
was like, all right, take it easy. But there is apparently a very real ticking clock. And we know this when we look at Hollywood. There's a real ticking clock for actresses who you
Oh,
can
yeah,
play.
like the that gap.
Yeah.
Like you
And
have like
so.
a short gap to play this type of character.
And then once you hit this particular age, once you're in your 40s, forget it. And then you can
Yeah.
come back again in your 60s to play like a grand dowager countess who's sitting alone in
Yes.
the palace with her lovely
Understood.
hairpins. That
With her
that's your
lovely
career, right?
hairpin.
So that part really kind of interested me, but it was because, I guess I have all of these, expectations or ideas in my mind about how formal their culture is. To hear how this woman was speaking about having an affair with a younger man, and then when she finally goes to have the affair, she insults his manhood, and it was hilarious. And I was like, oh, okay, I will give this show its full shot. And that show, it's called She as Well. I don't know if I mentioned that already, but the twists and turns in this show, like the husband's pretending to be in love with this guy. And when I was explaining all of this stuff to Charlene, she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, isn't this like, this is what's on TV? Like, this isn't this what's on TV in Korea? And she's like, no, what? So I was really surprised. I was really, really surprised. So I was like, okay, I'll give another one of these a shot, and I'll give another one. And here we are, what, 7, 8 years later? I don't know how many years later. A number of years later.
18 years later.
Umpteen years later, where
Yeah.
to see how these storylines are still, the formula is still very much there, but, with what is now modern twists on these things. So
yes, it just keeps getting better. Let's take a look at our wonderful rating system. Well, I'm excited.
As well you should be. We worked very hard on it.
So for those who have not seen it, it is on our Instagram page. Abby, will you do the honors?
It is at kdrama_mamas with a Z or Z if you're in Canada. Follow, like our stuff, check it out. We want to see you interacting with us on our page.
Yes, and there is two of them. There's the heartstrings rating system, and there's the waterworks one. Now let me just go to the heartstrings one. And it's out of 6. 1 to 6, but technically the 1 is 0. Like, there's no romance, nada. There's a nada in there. Okay.
A nada, yeah. Because, I mean, sometimes you're just like, the heck is this? And I mean, maybe you're not looking for romance. Maybe you're looking for, I don't know, like The Silent Sea. I haven't watched it all yet, so I don't know if there's a romantic element to it, but maybe you're just looking for some sci-fi space travel stuff. I don't know. And so there
that is the Squid Game of heartstrings-ish. There's no romance in it, that's why.
Yeah, that would
be only like the connection between like the son and the mother, obviously, like there's like the family relative connection, but
I would put that under the waterworks scale.
Yeah.
So let's discuss the difference between the heartstrings and the waterworks. Waterworks cover all of the emotions. Like if you feel like so absolutely full of love that you're pouring your whole eyes out with all of the tears that you have, it's gonna probably be a 5 on the waterworks scale.
You want to get rid of all that sodium and you want to leak that shit out of your eyes? We'll recommend something to you.
Right. If you're looking for something to make your heart just like burst wide open with the potential of the ultimate love in your life, that's the heartstrings. So
yes, it's on a scale of this is a familiar feeling to, oh my God, that's true love, to this is unrealistic and I'm setting my standards real high right now.
So high, in fact, that I may fly to Korea and try to find this particular person who, may we remind you, is just an actor and probably doesn't want you to approach them on the street.
Yes,
we are not endorsing you.
K-dramas is a misrepresentation of how love actually works. The slightest touch does not give you that heartstring pull. It's over-exaggerated. So just be mindful. You don't have to fly to the country to find them. But I mean, it's better than Tinder, right? Like, I mean, I would assume from the horror stories that I would hear, I think at least it's better than that. Well, you know what? Okay, maybe it's just like the Tinder in Toronto.
Maybe. And I mean, on that note, there's lots of Korean dudes in Toronto. If you are specifically looking for a Korean man, you can find one right here in your local area. So you need not, particularly now, I mean, COVID is traveling the globe. You don't want to be flying here, there, and everywhere looking for that kind of romance. So
very true. That's very
those
true.
Are our qualifiers to to the rating system.
We could just ask Charlene and just be like, hey, you got cousins?
And you know what?
Are they romantic?
You know what I like about it? It's setting a standard across the board. Like, you can say, this is a love I've never known before. That doesn't mean that some Guyanese dude, like one of my cousins, can't, you know, fulfill that kind of love. Like, he needs to watch these shows and realize what it is that has these girls weak need and wanting to get vaccinated and fly halfway across the world. And then just provide like that right here. You can provide that here.
Yes. Can you imagine someone's like, how do I court a woman? Well, let me just set you up on 5 different shows and I hope you pick up 1 or 2 traits. Like,
that's all you gotta do.
Not everything. Yeah, you know, like back in the day, like when people think, oh, how do I court? Well, flowers and watering their plants randomly is not going to do it. Like, you actually need to get to know them. Don't be a sleazeball. Don't come
don't
off
be
creepy.
That's important.
Don't put too much pressure on the person that you're attracted to. And don't act weird.
Tell us more about the heartstrings and the waterworks.
The heartstrings. Okay, so I feel like going back to the heartstring one and relating it to the K-drama show, and I don't know how to word that. So I feel like that's your category.
So we have two rating systems. We have the waterworks system and the heartstring system. The heartstring system is the amount of romance that's in a given show. So you will get an overall heartstrings classification for how romantic that particular show is. With regard to waterworks, waterworks runs the gamut of all of the emotions. So if you're crying because you are so much in love, that gets a waterworks rating. If you're crying because you're so sad because something super awful has happened to one of the characters, that gets a waterworks rating. So at the end of a show, we'll give you the comprehensive heartstrings rating as well as a comprehensive waterworks rating.
There's the overall rating for the heartstrings and the waterworks for the entire duration of the show. It's definitely going to be an investment. It's going to be a slow incline, but it's going to be a lucrative return. And I say that because you are giving the time of day to the show and you're watching it progress. And as every episode continues along, you get the slow build of everything. The waterworks go hand in hand with the heartstrings, I find.
Yes.
So like, for instance, on like our love, like on the heartstrings one, where it says love does exist, which is like the third rating. It does exist, but you only think it exists because you're probably on episode 3 or 4 now.
Right.
And then you realize that, oh, I see what's forming here. Seems like there's like you follow along and it's like the chart is a summary of what you're going to feel throughout the delegated episodes.
What we'll also do is provide a weekly rating for the show that we're watching right now. We're going to put a spoiler alert, so don't worry if you don't want to see it. The first thing that you're going to see on our Instagram page is spoiler alert, so it'll be up to you if you want to click in there and find out what's going on. We're going to give you an episode rating as we go. So if an episode is super romantic, you're going to get a rating about that. And if an episode is super sad or super emotional, you're going to get a rating about that. So scroll at your own risk. And in the off chance that Marley and I happen to have different ratings for the show or the episode, you'll see my rating and you'll see Marley's rating. What we'll also do is at the end of a show, when we give you the overall show rating, we'll suggest shows that fall under those categories. So if you happen to love that level of romance or that level of emotional commitment, then we'll make some suggestions as to other shows that you could watch that will fulfill that need for you. So we hope that you will enjoy that. You tell us in the comments where you landed on the scale.
What was indifferent? What did you like? What did you dislike? I think he's hot too.
So.
Yes, I like that.
What did you think of our very first episode?
I liked it. I think it was a good introductory. I can't wait until we can solely like base certain episodes on like one show and like talk about it thoroughly. Yeah. If that's a neat thing. And I can't wait for the audience to like chime in too. Agree to disagree. Did you find your man? Are you moving to Korea? Like, I want to know.
And to that point, click the link in the podcast description and leave us a note. Let us know how you feel. We want to know what you're thinking. What you think of our rating system. We want to hear from you.
We really do.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at kdrama_mamas with a Z. And
leave us a comment. And if your comment is in Korean, we're gonna have to use Google Translator, and just know it's not always accurate. So fair warning.
So until next time.
Scooby doo bop bop outro. Well, we don't have a tune yet. Scooby doo bop bop.